to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Last week's Strawberry Moon is a signal to many that strawberry season is here or about to begin across North America. This indigenous red fruit is a significant part of many tribal communities' culture and culinary traditions. Strawberries are connected to origin stories, medicine, and good teachings. In this hour, we'll talk more about how culture, tradition, and flavor are packed into this small berry. Join us for this conversation right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Two Catholic churches on reserves in British Columbia, Canada, have burned to the ground. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the fires come in the wake of the discovery of remains and unmarked graves on sites of former residential schools.
Two churches went up in flames on the Similkameen Reserve in British Columbia. The St. Anne's Church, built in 1910, and the Chopaka Church, built in 1897, burned within an hour of each other. A week ago, two other churches, one on the Osoyoos Reserve, the other on the Penticton Indian Band Reserve, were also burned down. The chief of the Lower Similkameen Indian Band says there are still Christian and Catholic followers in his community, and the impact of the fires has been devastating. And Chief Sandra Laren of the Gitwengak First Nation spoke out against the incident.
We don't tolerate arson. We don't tolerate criminal activity. Whether or not we believe in formalized religion or we believe in the Creator or we believe in both, this isn't the way. Begetting violence with violence is just not going to get us anywhere.
Police investigating the fires would only say they were suspicious, and officials are not suggesting any connection to the recent grim discoveries at former residential schools. In May, the remains of 215 children were found in unmarked graves near the former Kamloops Indian Residential School, and less than a week ago, 751 unmarked graves were found near a former residential school in Saskatchewan. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A totem pole is making its way from the Lummi Nation in Washington State to the nation's capital this summer. It's stopping along the journey and was recently in Lawrence, Kansas at Haskell Indian Nations University. Rhonda Lovaldo has more.
The House of Tears Carvers haul a 5,000-pound totem pole made from a 400-year-old cedar tree to raise awareness of many issues Native Americans face. Freddie Lane of the Lummi Nation says that includes boarding schools like where they visited at Haskell.
I'm sure there are sacred sites and sacred mounds and burial sites around here. The message of murdered and missing Indigenous women, the Indian in the moon, every stop is different. The totem isn't sacred. What's sacred is the gathering of the students, the faculty here.
But one other important message is to support Department of Interior Secretary and Laguna Pueblo citizen Deb Holland in addressing these items, says Lummi citizen and master carver of the totem pole, Jewel Praying Wolf James.
We know it takes more than one to accomplish great deeds, so we have to stand behind it.
James's presentation encouraged students, staff, and faculty to be more involved in Native issues. The group plans to make it to the Capitol at the end of July. This is Rhonda Lovaldo for National Native News.
The ANCSA Regional Association and the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association welcomed Friday's U.S. Supreme Court decision that Alaska Native regional and village corporations are recognized as tribes under the Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act and are eligible to receive shares of the $8 billion in CARES Act funds set aside for tribes in March 2020. More than a dozen tribes sued, arguing Alaska Native corporations are not federally recognized tribes and are not entitled to the funds. In a statement, the Alaska group said Congress established the corporations to serve the health, education, welfare, and cultural needs of Alaska Natives, and they're pleased to see the court affirm their eligibility for CARES Act funds to help recover from COVID-19. Tribal plaintiffs in the case have expressed disappointment. Hundreds of millions of dollars in CARES Act funds were being held back by the Treasury Department. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination provided by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, which supports this show. Vaccines are now available for everyone 12 and up. Talk with your provider today about protecting your children and family from COVID-19. This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination provided by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, which supports this show. Vaccines are now available for everyone 12 and up. Talk with your provider today about protecting your children and family from COVID-19.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Asherhutui. Many traditional indigenous foods have layered purposes. The strawberry is a very special fruit. They grow wild in much of the country, and they're seen as a delicious food and as a medicine. For different tribes, they are symbolic of the heart and hold many good teachings. Last week's strawberry moon was a signal that the time to welcome strawberries and their harvest back had arrived. Some indigenous communities have close traditional ties to them and honor their return in different ways. In this hour, we talk more about the culture and culinary side of strawberries, and we hope you will join us too. How important are strawberries in your native community? What's their traditional name? And are they also a part of important traditional dishes or drinks? Give us a call and join our conversation. We're at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today, joining us from Six Nations in Ontario, Canada, is Terry Lynn Brandt, and she is a Mohawk seed keeper. Our pleasure to have her here with us. Terry Lynn, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you very much for having me today, and I am really excited to hear even what some of the other guests are here to share with us today.
I am too. And so, Terry Lynn, we turn it to you. Tell us about the connections that Mohawks have to strawberries.
The strawberry time is a wonderful time of the year. As you know, the Haudenosaunee people, or the people of the Longhouse, Iroquois Confederacy League, make it up to the Mohawks, Senecas, Cayugas, Onondagas, and Oneidas. All of our brothers and sisters nations, we all have this connection to our foods because of the agricultural calendar that we live on. The Haudenosaunee people are tremendous agriculturalists, and so every moon of the year is an agricultural ceremony for us. Now, in terms of, we don't really obviously just call each of our moons by that, but what one of the issues are, the things is that we talk about our medicines a lot in our Haudenosaunee culture. And our medicine societies that we have are also a part of our food system, especially what we would call the good medicines, because Native people like to refer to good medicines and bad medicines. So our what we call our sustenance societies are very, very important. And these are the people, the individuals that are responsible for what we say, putting through ceremonies to restore all the people, okay? That term putting through means to make sure that everything is ready in place, the speakers, the singers, the dancers, everything that you would need, even the food. So sometimes we are specifically honoring specific foods. And with the strawberries, obviously, like my Longhouse Society will be having the strawberry festival. And the strawberry ceremony itself is done in terms of making the strawberry or referring to the strawberry as the leader of the berries. So when we do that Thanksgiving and we sing those songs, we're honoring it as the leader, meaning it's the first one that comes ripe. It's the first one that is plentiful. It's the first one that we can start to eat. So sustenance societies are extremely important for the Haudenosaunee people. Because we, as we say, that it helps balance our people, it helps revitalize their bodies, along with strawberries. We have a raspberry one soon and a green corn, and there are many of them. But these, we use the universal power that is in the entity right, that is in the strawberry to help us balance and restore our food systems and therefore our people. We know that eating different foods gives us different nutrients and different vitamins, et cetera. So it's like that universal power that that entity has, and we call upon it, we invite it, we thank it for growing, and for us, it's a lot of thanking it for continuing its responsibilities. For the Haudenosaunee people,
it comes with a lot of great things. Terry Lynn, go ahead, continue.
It's really, for the Haudenosaunee people, it's a very fine line between medicine and religion. I know with Western societies, you have religion and you have medicine, and they're kind of separate things. But you can see there's a little bit of a toss over. So for us, it's a way of life. So medicine is our, we refer to it like it's how we use that entity to help us to balance our spirit, our people, or our thing. So it's a very positive energy, and we are encouraged as individuals. I can even remember as a kid, like literally, eat strawberries now because they're on. Eat them for breakfast, eat them for lunch, eat them for supper. Put a whole bunch of that into your bodies. Right? And I would be talking a lot of that because by adding that to my diet, right, at that time of year, what the reason we are encouraged to eat a lot of it is because it is helping us to create our body or to prepare our body for what we call our summer diet, okay? So that's why, you know, it's not really a good thing as a traditional cycle of eating to eat strawberries in January. Like, we want to make sure that we're eating with the cycle. And so that's why we do a lot of the things that we're working on now.
And Terry Lynn, I understand, and this goes with many different tribes, that there is also a connection specifically to women in this fruit. Is there anything you can share on that?
Well, one of the things that comes from our creation story is the sky woman, when she fell upon, was falling from the sky, she did clutch in her hand strawberries, okay? Reaching at the ground, there was a hole in the sky there from an uprooted tree, and she was reaching for those. And so that when she came down towards the earth, or coming what would be the earth, she had those strawberry, that strawberry plant in her hand. So it became a natural, one of the very first plants to be able to come here to this world. And we say that that trail from the sky world to here was littered with the strawberries as she came down. So, you know, they tell us in our death speeches that when our people return to the sky world, you'll smell the strawberries, right? You'll see them. So that's what you want to see, because you know you're heading, you know, back to the sky world.
Well, thank you for sharing that part of your culture with us and the importance of this fruit. And we know many people have taken a moment and enjoyed strawberries on their dinner table and their desserts, or maybe a snack along the way. And you are hearing the indigenous connection to this fruit, which I understand is native to North America. And if there is something you would like to share about all of this, we sure hope you will dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. What are your cultural teachings? Only ones you can share in public, mind you. Anything you'd like to share, and what are the stories that you are teaching your young ones? Or maybe ones that your ears perk up when your elders talk about it? Go ahead and dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And First Fruit Harvest. Boy, that is a special time. We welcome back a lot of things. And when it's time to welcome back the berries, what does that mean to you, your family, your community? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Terry Lynn, I turn to you again. And when we think about fasting all winter, not having some of these different foods, especially the berries, and then once we are able to have them again, what kind of lesson comes with that?
Well, one of the things you do have to remember for the Haudenosaunee people and for strawberries themselves, they're only present for about a month, right? Just a small window of time. So we gathered, to us, it was a signal to turn the bounty of the earth. There it is. It's coming. It's blooming. It's beautiful. So the majority of our strawberries were always dried. We did, that's what I've been doing this week. I have been getting all my strawberries out and chopping them up, and I've been drying them because they are used in so many ways, and they're so sweet. We use them for juices. We even put them in our wedding breads, right? So that's one of the, you know, important things that we remember and we think about. And the fact that what we are so thankful of is the fact that when we see those strawberries and they go through that real quick little season that they have, we can visually see over the course of a few days how the Creator has done what he had promised that he would do for us. So that's why we become so thankful, because we know that he's continuing his responsibilities and in the duties and responsibility he gave that strawberry plant to be our sustenance, to help us. And it's very, it's a good connection to us just for that.
And Terry Lynn, thinking about being able to go out there and find them in the wild, is there anything going on? Is anything changing? Or maybe even threats to where you can naturally find them because of development? Anything there that you can share on?
Well, that is the whole issue I was speaking of before, was the dangers basically to strawberries are what we call urban sprawl. Okay, developers today go out there, and the first hunk of land they want to buy is usually the old family farm. And the reason for that is that the family farm is cheap, and it's already cleared, and they want to put in infrastructure and houses. So they basically want to change everything about that piece of land, but they look at it as a blank slate. Now, the strawberry's natural habitat is a meadow. So when development takes the meadows, it's taking their home away, all right? So there's less and less of them. And what they end up leaving is just a lawn. Now, for some people, they look at the strawberry plant and they think, oh, I hate weeds. They look at it as a weed. They don't look at it as a sustenance, as a food source. So they want to get rid of it. So herbicides, pesticides, things like that, they use to get rid of them, those strawberry plants, which is unfortunate. Strawberry's not always willing to give its life up so easy, because it is a runner, so sometimes you got to do a couple of doses of herbicides and things like that to get rid of them. But just that development itself and turning things into lawns is critical. And the other thing that comes along with development is drainage situations. When the strawberry grows, it generally has a nice moist soil, a richer soil. That's what it likes growing in. But in development, they change everything, and they very much like to control the drainage, and they will drain the soil and they create ditches, so everything is going in this nice little uniform
sure.
way.
And just hearing these kind of concerns, I think there's a lot to be said. Maybe you want to say some of it. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Phone lines are open. We're talking about strong.
The federal government will investigate the tragic legacy of American Indian boarding schools through a new program that will search for and identify remains of children who did not return home. The initiative follows the grim discovery of previously undocumented remains of 215 children on the grounds of a Canadian residential school. Those stories and more on the next Native America Calling.
As COVID-19 vaccines are becoming available, Americans are eager to learn more, but frustrated about where to find answers. That's why AARP is working to protect Americans 50+ by connecting you to the latest information. You can learn who's eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine in your state, when, where, and how to get it, and what you might want to discuss with your doctor at aarp.org/vaccineinfo. AARP supports this program.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are talking about cultural and culinary significance of strawberries today. And you can join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And how important are strawberries to your tribal nation? Go ahead and share now. We are ready to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 here out of Six Nations, Ontario, is Terry Lynn Brandt, and she is a traditional Mohawk seed keeper. Terry Lynn, thank you for being with us, and you were talking about threats to the strawberries, and thinking also about wanting to keep this going and keep a certain type of strawberry available. Is there anything you want to share about seed keeping, or how you keep the strawberries that you are harvesting today? How do you keep them going?
Well, fortunately, strawberries keep themselves going because they are runner plants. I do keep a patch of what we call wild strawberries because when we do our ceremonies, we don't take the store-bought strawberries, like the big GMO ones you buy. We don't take those to ceremony ever. We only use the traditional, the natural indigenous strawberry. So I keep a small patch of those, and I keep tending to them. You can grow strawberry plants it sends out a runner to get another plant going, or you can simply, you know, propagate it from the seeds. It just takes another year longer to do it that way. And strawberries take a few years to actually get to the point where you can start to pick them. So they're, you know, it's a bit of a commitment for newer gardeners or for people, which is really, you know, important for them to understand. It's just not simple. But like anything worth it in our cultures, you know, hospitality, reciprocity, giving back, these are really highly valued ethics for us. And the whole concept or ethic of communal feasting, and when we create those communal feasts, when we put that bowl of strawberries out there, or when we, you know, with us, we have a big pail, and now we put the strawberries in water, and we create a juice from that. We make a strawberry juice. As my daughter, she's an indigenous chef, Tanya Brandt, here on Six Nations with a traditional restaurant. She serves strawberry juices like every day just because that's what, you know, our people are to be eating. But when we create that dish, that symbolizes the spirit of the communal sharing that is such a high valued ethic among our people.
Wow. I can only imagine what it tastes like. Terry Lynn, you had something more?
Is a symbol of you're a generous person.
Very nice. And they are a symbol of many different things. Friendship. They are also associated with naming ceremonies, also fasting and important times in a woman's life. There are many things that are tied to strawberries across Native America, and what they're called is different in each nation. Maybe there's a story or a teaching you'd like to share, or just paying tribute to the gift of having strawberries come back. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also here, too, joining us from Vancouver Island in British Columbia is Kwatste Nakhan, and he is a chef of the Kawitsin tribe. He's also a writer and a journalist, and he is from the Kawitsin tribe. And it is our pleasure to have him here with us. Welcome to Native America Calling, and please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Hey, Asiemnesiea, Asiemneswalakwa, Asiemneswalmoch, Ainta, Walmoch, Sne, Squistenachan, Ohai Tapka, Siemnesiea, Siem, Skukatanakwatsin Saltwain, Ni Hitzel Lalamechen, Atta Walmost Ashlins, Attani Walmost Lakan, Ohai Tapka, Siemnesiea. Hello, everybody. I am Jared Williams. I am a traditional chef on Vancouver Island. And yeah, I work with the elders. That's where I work predominantly. And when I think about strawberries, I'm reminded of one of the elders who used to reference that when she was younger, she used to head out into the fields, and there were fields where the little wild strawberries used to be. And they used to travel there to eat them. And that she remembers that they were the sweetest thing she had had here on, you know, the West Coast. A lot of our berries are not as sweet as our stevia or strawberry. And anyway, she used to eat these things all the time, and then she remembers in the 40s when they got white sugar in the house, and that how that just like revolutionized their whole world, because up until then the sweetest thing they had was that strawberry and how when they introduced that new white sugar, that it just like changed what they were used to eating, and that it was almost harder to return to traditional foods. And you know, like she would always like reference how, you know, we have to work with you know, our foods and our youth to like try to make sure that, you know, like they remember, you know, to use, you know, like our foods and like to not like rely on these, you know, like new foods. But yeah, that's what hops into my mind like right away, is, you know, that she's 92 and she just used to have all these really, really good stories about how food had like changed, right? Yeah.
Sure. And oh boy, their sweetness is something to talk about for a full hour. And we're doing that right now. And just thinking about how things are incorporated in our diet and how other things are introduced. And when we think about the gift of strawberries and also the cultural role that they play, we are waking up something really important, I understand. And Kwatste Nahan, when you are adding these to the things that you are presenting to people in your culinary art, tell me a little bit how that feels to just know that this is very traditional food, feeding people things that contain strawberries, or where strawberry is the superstar of the plate or drink.
Yeah, well, I think one thing like to realize here, you know, like on the island anyway, is that when you usually think about strawberries, you usually I think about, you know, like about, you know, like a handful size, you know, like about, you know, like fist a size a worth of strawberries. But in the traditional world, like our like strawberries are probably about 3/4 of an inch long by about 1/2 inch wide. And so they're not very large, and we have to harvest lots of them. But what is really wonderful is they've got a really a strong flavor. Like I can like recall elders like referencing how one of those a little wild stevia has like the like same flavor as you know, like a large like western like strawberry. But yeah, just that they're you don't need the same volume you would like need if you were using like western like strawberries at all.
It's interesting when you compare the two and the sweetness as well. And speaking of cultural significance, are there any stories to share or teachings that are connected to the strawberry and your tribal nation?
Oh, well, there's probably lots, but one that really hits home. So the elders raise us up and they talk about when you have children, or when your like wife is with, you know, child, there are these, you know, like foods that you're not allowed to eat. And they've got all these like reasons. Every one of these like foods has this one specific reason. And so like my whole life, they would remind us of all these, you know, like reasons and rules and requirements. And so when I became a man, I married a non-Aboriginal woman, and she's wonderful, and she's wonderfully like supportive of you know, like my culture. But what was really interesting is when she was pregnant, you know, I was like, oh, hey, there's all these, you know, foods you're not supposed to eat, and these are all the reasons why. You know, like, you know, like she'd be like, oh, really? I don't know. I really want to eat this. I really want to eat that. And I'd say, no, don't eat this. Don't eat that, please. And she'd just kind of laugh. And one day, I think she was pregnant in, like, June and July. She ate all these freaking, like, strawberries, hey, big, you know, like, mountain of them. And I just laughed. I said, hey, you know, you're like, you know, like, you just watch. You just watch. And when we had my son, he had this red strawberry birthmark, you know, right, you know, know, like right on him. And I just started laughing and laughing. I said, look, that's what the elders must say will happen. Look, you know, you were just there. You were just there having all those other strawberries. And I was laughing at you. And she goes, wow, it's true. Look, wow. So holy, with all the other children, no strawberries. She didn't eat no strawberries. Listen to the whole list, no problem. It was real easy after that.
Minding our elders. And see, sometimes we have to learn through stories like this too. And when you think of all of the culture that comes with these strawberries, and to think, and correct me if I'm wrong, originating in North America and being somebody who is a chef, that this gift goes around the world. You see all kinds of, see them showing up in different places around the world, and people who are harvesting them. What are your thoughts at how far the strawberry has traveled as well?
Well, yeah, wow, yeah, absolutely. When I think about traveling and strawberries and harvesting, I think about how our tribe, a lot of the elders here when they were young, so we live just northwest of Washington State. So we're probably about 100 kilometers from Seattle. And so a lot of our tribe, when the Europeans arrived and they were farming strawberries, a lot of our tribes would travel to, like, Washington, like, state to harvest those strawberries. It was like a summer job. And, you know, when you I talk with elders, you know, they'll laugh about how, oh, I was in those big fields, you know, with your auntie, you know, on, you know, like my back in there having to harvest all those. So we would have all this extra food in the winter and all this stuff. And you're like, wow, like it, the like act of having to travel there. And, you know, like they didn't, you know, like, a drive there. No, they paddled all the way there. You know, that's like a really long way to go. So,
yeah, that's a lot of commitment and work and getting to the point of, you know, strawberries at the end. I think that's a gift in itself. And you can share in this conversation too. We're hearing about people's connections to strawberry, the indigenous connection, and if there's something you'd like to share, 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Or maybe you are learning about all of this and didn't know that there was such a strong tie to strawberries in our Native nations. If you want to share some thoughts, dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Is the strawberry an important, does it provide a lot of good teaching in your tribal community? People from the Cherokee Nation, Anishinaabe, ready for your calls too. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Also here too is Terry Lynn Brent. She is a traditional Mohawk seed keeper. And Terry Lynn, I want to hear your thoughts too of just how far the strawberry has traveled and just to think of its origins.
Well, I think one of the things that it's not really even about how far it's traveled, it's more about what the heck they've done to it. And to me, it's very disheartening when I see a strawberry the size of an apple, you know, that they've stretched it to its DNA to those limits so far to get so big. And we all know that with the genetically modified foods, they lose flavor, they lose nutrients. So just because you have a nice, you know, pretty huge strawberry, you know, you eat that and you think, gee, it doesn't taste like a strawberry, you know, and then you go pick that little wild one, which is literally the end, the size of the end of your, of the tip of your baby finger, right? It's very small. And you eat one of them and it's like this pop of flavor. So that's what frightens me. You know, even now I'm also looking at, I'm seeing blue strawberries, you know, like, so they're even tinkering with the color. So that's what, that's the big concern, because one of the issues is the more you tinker with any kind of seed, plant, or the way it's going to be, then there comes a point when you can't tinker anymore, and then you don't have a strawberry. So for me to pick up a blue, huge blue strawberry, like, I can't even I don't see that as being a strawberry, and I don't see it having any spiritual connection, any universal power that the Creator put in that fruit in the first place. So I would really be hesitant to take that to ceremony.
Very interesting. And maybe you share the same thoughts. You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you have seen a change in strawberries too, maybe not the ones you grew up with, maybe what you're seeing now doesn't quite mirror what you're seeing. If you have a take on blue strawberries, go ahead, call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we look forward to your calls. And maybe this is a special time of year where it's time to welcome back the strawberries. And then come the other different berries that come after. Are there any teachings that talk about how special this plant is? And maybe ways that you are supposed to honor it. You can give us a ring, especially the teachings. What kind of teachings come along with seeing the first fruits of the summer? We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And as you hear more about strawberries and they're significant to other nations, maybe your nation has a different fruit that signifies it's time to harvest, the first one. Have you been waiting all winter for strawberry harvest or maybe a fruit from your community? You can give us a ring. We look forward to your stories. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we are ready to hear what you'd like to add to this conversation. Maybe you've done a special tribute to strawberries in some form. Maybe even in your beadwork, your artwork. Tell us about it. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we know the strawberry moon was last week. Is there anything you'd like to say about that? Go ahead and dial in 1-800-996-2848.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you from Mesleta Pueblo. We are focusing on strawberries today. And does this fruit play an important role in your nation? What about your tribe's culinary culture? There is still time to join our conversation. We're at 1-800-996-2848. And maybe you want to tell us about your favorite strawberry dish. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And right now, we are going to travel to Peterborough in Ontario, Canada. With us today is Blue Waters, and she is an elder in the community of Toronto and Seneca College, and she is Cree, Mi'kmaq, and Métis. Our pleasure to have her here with us today. Blue, welcome.
Tansay, Migwich, Kwekwe, Sego. Thank you for having me join in today. And for me, you know, I carry quite a few different teachings from different nations, being originally from Toronto, that meeting place of, you know, where people come and gather. And so I wanted to share with you three short teachings on that strawberry. And the first one that comes to mind is an Anishinaabe elder shared with me that, you know, at one point there were two brothers that were playing in the woods, and they started horse playing around, and it became a little bit rough. And one of them pushed their brother, and that brother fell and hit his head on a rock, and he passed away from that injury. And that brother that was left behind was so mournful. It was so hard for him, but yet fearing that when he went home, his parents would be upset because the life of his brother had been taken from not being careful and not being respectful and treating his brother with those understandings of love and respect and kindness, that he didn't know what to do. And he was there for quite a few hours mourning with his brother there and feeling the loss. So he dug down into the ground and put his brother in there and went home back to his family. And his parents, of course, were saying, "Where's your brother?" And he was so ashamed and so sorry for what had happened. He lied and he said, I don't know. He was there, but he's gone. And so not wanting to further perpetuate his act by lying more, he just said, he's gone. And so the parents went searching and grieving, and this was in the late fall. And so they mourned all through that fall season and through the winter. And in the spring, they asked the remaining brother, the son, take me back to where you last seen him. And so he was still feeling very sorrowful. So he took them back to the area. And there on the ground, while there was still snow, was this little green leaf coming up through the ground. And so they went and they mourned at that spot, and they did their feasting, and they were doing that passing ceremonies for that loved one because they had not returned. And they went back again at the beginning of the summer solstice. And when they got there, they seen these strawberries up from the ground that had been that little green leaf that had been peeking through the snow. And it's the first of our fruit that comes first. And so they marveled at this strawberry patch that was there. And at that time, the parents started to share their understanding of those strawberries with their remaining son. And they had spoke to them about that strawberry being the heart berry, that medicine of the heart. And that spoke about grievance, and it spoke about forgiveness, and it spoke about being back in balance. And at that point, the brother broke down and told the parents what had happened, how they had been horse playing around, and he had shoved his brother, and his brother had hit his head on a rock. And so that strawberry had come in replacement of that brother that he had lost to let him do that grieving over that time. But then those parents also offered that forgiveness of that act that had happened out of not following in those seven grandfather teachings of truth, honesty, humility, wisdom, love, bravery, and respect. And so that young man learned those teachings and became a very powerful teacher in his community. And so with that story, we hear about that medicine of the heart, that berry, when you cut it open, resembles that heart. And so we look at that as a very balancing fruit that comes to us, and it comes with that work and those understandings of our heart, always including our heart in everything that we do with those seven teachings. And so for me, that was a very powerful teaching that I you know, was given, and I carry and I share with others. And you know, that strawberry also teaches us that, you know, the top part of that strawberry is also medicine, not just the beautiful red, delicious, sweet berry. But that bitter greens that grows on top of those strawberries is also a medicine that we include when we use it in our culinary practices, because it reminds us that in life we go through that bitterness, those hard times, those times when things don't work out for us. But if we persevere and we continue on our journey, we then get to taste that sweetness of that bottom of that berry. So bringing forth balance to our lives. So, you know, for us, we take those strawberries when they come up. And just as some others have said so far, Tara Lynn and the other gentlemen from the West Coast, that it is a medicine for us. And so we kind of mash it up with the green on it. And then, you know, there's maple syrup, which comes from what we call the leader of the trees, that maple tree, that one that gives us that sap water in the spring. That gift of life, because we cannot live without water. And then we boil that down and it becomes that sweetness of maple syrup. And so we mix that mashed berry with water and a drop of maple syrup. And that gives us that balance in our life, that green of cleansing, that bitterness, letting go, that sweetness that comes from the heart berry, and that gift of life that comes from that leader of the trees, that maple tree. So those are two teachings that I wanted to share with you. And
important ones. And Blue, maybe you have woken up something in our listening audience too, and teachings that were handed down to them as well. And appreciate you for sharing. Again, if you want to share, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And the teachings that come with strawberries is vast. And another teaching comes from just respecting who we are as Indigenous people, and even who we are as Indigenous women, Anything you want to share about that blue?
Yes, definitely. That strawberry is always present when women's ceremonies happen. And we know that, you know, we have what's known now as gender-specified teachings. You know, women carry the water, men carry the fire. But there's also those in-between people that have always existed in our community. And so when we have ceremonies, you know, for the women, it's reminding them about that heart, that gentleness, that love, that compassion, and that strawberry is very powerful. It's one of the few fruits that carries its young ones on the outside. Their seeds are not encapsulated inside of that berry for protection, because it knows that it will carry on and it will do its original instructions to provide for the people the medicine that it gives to us. And so there is another ceremony that young women experience when they start to come of age, when they're ready to be life carriers themselves. And at that point, it's called a berry fast. And so they refrain from eating any berries, you know, including strawberries, because it's a form of getting their bodies ready for that time when they can bear life. And so they sit without those berries, without that sweetness, in a place of discipline, in a place of being mindful and conscious of all that the earth gives us, and fasting from those sweetness of the gifts of Mother Earth that she gives to each and every person on the earth. And so she fasts for 1 year from any berries, and that's including our modern day things such as shampoos that may have any part of a berry in it. Sometimes berries are used as coloring and as dyes. So that young person at a young age has to really be mindful. So she has to check every packaging, every item that she's about to consume or partake with. And so it's a very, very intensive and intentful way of offering up that sweetness so that they will be gifted with that ability to bring forth new life and to transfer our blood memories, our blood lineages through to a newborn one through the being able to bear life. And with that strawberry as well, you know, that balance is that blueberry for us, that's considered a man's medicine. It has different healing properties. It has those antioxidants in it, which help keep us strong. And we know that strength is associated with masculinity. And so it's a balance. And what we do, especially when we're with two-spirited people or non-gender conforming, non-binary people, we add that to our manomen, our rice, our wild rice. And we put both of those in there, that strawberry and that blueberry, because that nurtures all of us as human beings. And it gives us what we need to sustain our bodies in balance. You know, because we think of those two-spirited people, of those balance bringers. So that is a perfect way for us to honor those that walk between those gender binaries that we took when the boats arrived here in North America and brought us new understandings. But those old understandings speak about many different gendered identity people. And so strawberries is really associated with that feminine gender, blueberries with that masculine. And as we know, the blueberries carry their seeds on the inside, and the strawberries carry their seeds on the outside. And so that's that difference in, you know, strength, that women have strength just as well as men do. And those that walk in between carry that balance equally. So that's another point I wanted to share with you, that we use that for our ceremonies, bringing in that wild rice and those berries to create a full balance to our being as human beings.
In blue, when we think of the lessons that come with food, sometimes that's the missing part. People eat, they get it down their throat, into their tummy, and then they're gone. But thinking about food in this way of the full teaching of what we're putting into our body, I think that also changes us too. What do you think?
Definitely, because, you know, there's traditional harvesting, what I know as traditional harvesting, where we don't just go and take. Our people never took more than half of anything, being mindful of those who are coming after them. And so the way we approach our food, the way that we harvest our food is so important, that first of all, we go and we have a relationship with that we're harvesting. And so we go and we sit with that plant or animal or tree or medicine, and we talk to it, and we give it an offering, because we know we don't go empty-handed with anything. There's always a reciprocity that has to happen. So we go, and usually we put down some tobacco, and we ask that spirit of that plant, that medicine, you know, what our intent is. We say, we want to offer you this because our intent is to harvest you, is to ask you for your life so that you give us what we need to continue having life. And so that way that in which we harvest is done always respectful, always with intent, always with a respect, because, you know, the earth doesn't need us. We need the earth. So everything that is within the earth has to give its life for us if it wants to. If it chooses not to, sometimes we get a message that says, no, don't harvest me. And so we don't take from that plant. Or we sit there and we feel at peace and we feel comfortable and we're led to help harvest that plant. But it's always done in a respectful way. It's never done for profit or gain. It's done in a way of that reciprocity, giving thanks for something that's being given to us to provide for us what we need to sustain our lives. And that's something that's not thought about a lot today. And I think it's because of the lack of carrying on those teachings from all the things that separated us from our teachings, such as colonization and being forced into do things that were not in our way of being. And so for me, it's reminding those that I speak with, those that I come into contact with, and those that I share space with, to be that equitable harvester, to be that respectful harvester, that don't take more than what you need. Take only what you need and leave some behind for those that are coming. And that creates that sustainable way of harvesting. Because if we take all of something, there will be none left, and then all of us will go without. But if we leave some for those coming behind us, and we speak to those things that we want to harvest, they give their life for us, and then they provide and continue to provide. You know, it's also a way of ethically and even scientifically not taking everything, because if we thin out something, it gives it more space to multiply and grow. But if we take all of something, there's nothing left to grow. So these are very valuable teachings that get passed on from generation to generation. And it's so important that we continue this. And I'm so grateful that, you know, you're having this conversation today. And it's so important for those of us now that are suffering through these finding of these little ones. And I like to think of them as little seeds now. You know, there's some sayings that they tried to kill the Indian and the child, and they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. And so I like to think of these little ones now making themselves known as seeds. And it's time for us now to nourish and to care for each other and to make sure that these seeds get back to where they need to be, which is their families. And every year in Toronto, there's a ceremony called the Strawberry Ceremony, in which we honor all those women, girls, and two-spirited people who have lost their life through their violence, through their lives being their journeys being interrupted. And their lives being lost. So we honor all those who have lost a loved one. And it's a specific ceremony that we do on purpose, intentfully, on February the 14th, which is Valentine's Day, which is associated again with that heart. And so we link it to that strawberry, that heart berry. And we allow those that need that space to talk and grieve, to have that space, for those that need that space to mourn. And we do give out strawberry and water as a way of helping those hearts to heal, because that berry is associated with that. So, you know, for Indigenous people, you know, whether you be a Métis person, an Inuit person, or a First Nation person, you know, status, non-status, it's so important that we've all come, those of us that have at least one drop of blood in our veins, carry these understandings to being transferred memory from generation to generation. Because we know that as our mother carried us, everything she ate, felt, understood was transferred through that blood into us. And, sure. You know, and when her mother carried her, the same thing, and back every generation before.
Beautiful, beautiful cycle you are talking about. Much to be honored. Much to honor our ancestors for bringing us to this point where we get to say these things. Thank you to everybody that we heard from on the hour. We'll be back again tomorrow with a look at the latest news. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll meet you here tomorrow.
The Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention remind you, receiving the COVID-19 vaccination protects you, your family, and your community, and urge you to please contact your tribal or urban clinic to get your COVID-19 vaccination if you haven't already. More information at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus, who support this show.
Hamitakipiki, oyate ota honip chapelo. Wo iwayan ke kahina zania oti elshnayayo. Lakhol zaniwa okia oti ektayayo. Healthcare.gov ilyayo nishtel mas apkayo. 1-800-318-2596. Lewot khaniki, Medicare to Medicaid otieta, hui apelo. Ho, hechetu elo.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.